Hello and welcome to Reflections. I'm your girl Nadine Edwards. Thank you for joining. I hope as you listen today, you will be inspired, uplifted, motivated in your continued pursuit of becoming a better version of yourself. If this is your first time tuning into my Reflections podcast, special welcome to you, and I hope that this will certainly not be your last time. Today, I want to reflect a little on the Our Father prayer. We have prayed this prayer so many times over the years, but have you ever stopped to really look at the words embedded in this prayer, found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13? This prayer shows the power of God, who He is by Himself to us and who we are to Him. It says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who are indebted against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Yes, I just said that by heart. I did not read it. So I am one of the many persons who know this prayer by heart. By the way, I just recited the King James Version. When we read it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, 13 stops at, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is where it ends. I honestly do not know where that last part came from, but traditionally we say, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. But I want to take this episode to just look at what the verses really mean in that little passage. Our Father in heaven is saying that He is our Father. We all have a biological father. Some are very present in our lives in an exceptional way. You could not ask for a better father. And some lost their fathers who were very, very good to them. Some are still around, but not so good. And some have passed, but were not so good. For those of you who have an exceptional father, you pretty much have an idea through that father what God can be like or what God is like. There's no earthly father that can top our heavenly father when it comes to fatherhood. You talk about the unfailing and eternal love. A love that is pure and warm. He is present in the little and big things. You know, some boys, when they have their sports and their special day at school, they look very much for their father to come and support them. Boys, you know what I'm talking about. And when I say boys, I'm not being condescending. You're grown up now, and you recall when you were youngster growing up and you were active in sport, or perhaps you had some presentation at school, or whatever the case may be. And you just look forward to mommy or daddy being there to support you, to say, oh, somebody I love is here to see me perform or go through this exercise that I know I have done so well at. Our Heavenly Father is very much present in the little and the big things. He's not going to leave us hanging. He will not leave you hanging. Even when you're in trouble and you were at fault about the trouble that you find yourself in, and you call on daddy, I need your help. Many of you can recall when you got yourself in some trouble and you call mommy or daddy on the phone to say, hey, I need your help. And they showed up. Even though they were mad at you, they showed up. That is our Heavenly Father. He's going to show up. What it is or who it is that you're allowing in your life to trick you or deceive you from understanding the kind of love that God has for you. Think about that for a moment. What it is or who it is you have allowed to poison your mind against a Heavenly Father, a daddy. I call him daddy sometimes. I talk to him about almost anything. He's someone you can talk to. You know, some people say she's daddy's girl or he's mama's boy. Our Heavenly Father is someone who can find a quiet spot, a private section in your house, and really have a heart-to-heart talk with him. Whether you want to vocalize it or speak in your heart, you can talk with him. Come, let us talk. It doesn't matter how messy you are. He says, come, let us talk about it. And
He's the kind of father who's going to let you know when you're wrong. But he's not going to judge you and write you off. He's going to say, hey, you were wrong. And he does that through your conscience. And it's now for you to say, you know what, Father, I know I messed up. And I need your help to not do this again. Many of you out there listening, you're parents. And when your child messes up, you may take away the toy, or you may say no ice cream this Sunday, or whatever the case may be, because you want a particular behavior not to be repeated, right? The same with our Father. He says, those that I love, I chasten, I correct. And when God does correct, he corrects in love. So God is the Father of all fathers. So if you have a good relationship with your earthly father and a good one with your heavenly father, you are double blessed, my friend. If you're faced with a situation and you call on your Heavenly Father to come through for you, it's very important that you wait, because he's not going to give you the opportunity to say, God, you failed me. If you deem him as a failure, you're the one who gave up. You never waited. Because if I sit here and tell you that God failed me in the past, in any situation in my life, I will be a liar. There were moments in my life I had to wait until God showed up. And he never allowed shame. Because many of us, we fear shame. And we also are a little mindful of what others think. That's the truth. That's the reality. But I tell you this, if you have a situation and you put it to God and say, God, I need you to come through on this, he's going to show up. It is our part to wait. Of course, other characteristics of a good father is that he provides and he protects his home, his territory, his family. And that's exactly who God is. In that same verse, it says, hallowed be thy name. This generation that we're living in now, the times that we're living in now, we see a lot of disrespect towards parents. Mark you, it existed in earlier times, but not as prevailing as today. So this part in the very same verse 9 that says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This hallowed means God is holy. And to be respected, just as how you'll respect your earthly father. So when we come to him in prayer, we are acknowledging that he is our heavenly father and he is to be respected. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. What is God's kingdom about? I see love. I see harmony, unity, oneness. I see righteousness. What is God's will? God's will is that we have life. Jesus says, I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. God's will is that you have life. God's will is that you love. He says, think not that I come to change the law or the prophets. I come to fulfill. What is the law about? Love. Loving the Lord with all your heart and your fellow man as yourself. His will is that we love. His will is that we be reconciled to the Father through the life that he came to give. And that reconciliation is to bring that freedom from bondage. And when you're free, you're happy. When you're free, you have peace. When you're free, nobody can hold you down. You float, you fly. That is God's will. God's will is that you have salvation. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you think this prayer was designed only for the poor and hungry? Do you think it is only prayed by the poor and hungry? Certainly not. The children of Israel, while sojourning through the wilderness to the promised land, were provided manna from heaven, sufficient for the day. So if anything left over, it spoiled, except for Friday, when they went out, they were together enough for Friday and the Sabbath, since Sabbath was supposed to be a rest day. So this nation was a template, if you will, to model to the world that as we journey through this wilderness called life, God is our provider. He provides for us not only physically, but also emotionally, spiritually, financially. Whatever your needs for this day, ask him. He will provide. And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. I want you to notice this verse carefully. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, which means before you can be forgiven by God, you must forgive your brother of his offense. We're all imperfect beings, and we're going to slip up from time to time, and we all need forgiveness. We have offended God, and God, while we were his enemies, the Bible says, Christ died. He forgave us. And here's a scriptural reference to that, found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. It says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. So reconciliation must be made before you come to God in prayer. Because if you do not forgive your brother, God will not forgive you. And the evidence of this is also found in verses 15 and 16 of this very same Matthew 6 that we are reflecting on. But it's outside of that passage of verses 9 to 13. Verses 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. None of us need to go far, or anywhere for that matter, to realize that there is good and evil in our world, all around us. But what some people do not realize, however, is that there is a real devil, a real Satan, a real serpent, who is passionately seeking our destruction and our demise. For those of us who recognize that there's an evil one seeking to destroy us, we seek God for favor to deliver us from evil in all its form. So in this quote-unquote Our Father prayer, I seek God as our Heavenly Father who is to be respected. I see God as the provider who provides for us, who sustains us. And I also see him as the one who protects, because he's the one we go to protect us from evil. There is no force, no evil force on this earth that can outdo God. He is all powerful. So he is indeed our refuge. He is indeed our hiding place. He is indeed the most powerful of all. I also see us here. If you notice through the prayer, it says us, our. This us is a community. Matthew chapter 18 verse 20 says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. So we operate stronger in community. God loves unity and oneness and togetherness. That's why he has placed us in families. So we are God's creation, God's children. We need him for sustenance of life. We need him for protection. We need him for salvation from our sins. I hope you were blessed by today's reflection, and you will now pray or continue to pray the Lord's Prayer with meaning. God bless you. Thank you for listening to today's reflection. Join me again next week for another episode. Until then, stay blessed.